Today we're in Revelation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and we've been studying this. Now, we've been looking at, in the book of Revelation, we've been looking at chapter 11, and we found out in Revelation chapter 11 that this describes a period of time at the end of the 7 years. It's a period of time that the Lord will use to reclaim the earth back to Himself. And how long is that period of time after the 7 years that the Lord is going to touch down upon the earth on the first day of these days after the 7 years are fulfilled? And He is going to touch down in Jordan. He's going to touch down there and take His people out of hiding. And then He's going to march 2 days north to Jerusalem. And He is going to do that. And on the third day, He's going to cause the Israelite people to understand who He is and to accept Him as their Messiah. And then on the fourth day, He's going to raise the two witnesses that have been killed by the beast and the Antichrist. And then on the fifth day, He's going to go up onto Mount Zion, and the seventh trumpet is going to be blown. And that seventh trumpet is going to bring in the final judgments upon the world called the bowl judgments. And then He's going to go up on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split from east to west. And there's going to be a valley there, and He's going to hide His people that have been saved, the Jewish people that have been saved by accepting Him as Savior. He's going to hide them in that valley called Azel. And so that's on day five or day six of how many days? How many days after the 7 years will it take for Him to reclaim the earth? Raise your hand if you know. How many days after the 7 years, according to Daniel 12:11? Denny? 30. Very good, Denny. 30 days. Excellent. 30 days. And then after He hides the Jewish people on earth, His earthly people, after He hides them in this valley called Azel, what is the Lord going to do between day 5 or day 6 and day 30? There's something He's going to do between day 5 and day 30. And by the way, day 30 is when He comes down with His angels for the battle of Armageddon, the final battle. The final battle that will create the world under His power will be the battle of Armageddon. That will be on day 30, and that will take place in Israel. The blood is going to flow. It's going to be a tremendous war. The whole world against the Lord. And that's no match. The Lord's going to defeat the world. But what's He going to be doing between day 6, or day 5, day 6, and day 30? Mary and Owen.
He's going to have room for worship.
All right. He's going to go back into heaven where we are, having been reunited with our loved ones. And we are then going to stand before the Lord from day 5 or day 6 to day 30 and have all of our works judged that we have done since we're saved. Now, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you to do it, because the things that the Bible predicted are coming to pass. Things are happening very rapidly in our world. And very soon we're going to enter into this last 7 year period that the Bible predicts and that much of Revelation talks about. And so you better get saved now while you have a chance, because if you don't, you're going to go to a different judgment. You won't go to this judgment that we're talking about. You will go to the judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. And a book will be opened, and every sin that you've ever done is recorded in that book. And you will have to pay for those sins, unfortunately, forever in the lake of fire. You'll be forever banished into a lake of fire. It's a horrible suffering. There's no hope. There's no rescue. There's no remedy. And it's so great that God has offered us a gift not to go there. And if you receive that gift, you're receiving that Christ died in your place and paid for those sins, so you don't have to pay for them. And by faith, you're accepting Him as your Savior. That's how you're saved. You're not saved through your church or your Catholic faith or this or that. Forget that. Get rid of that faith. It's not a Baptist faith or a Catholic faith. It's faith in Jesus Christ. That's what saves you. And I don't care whether you're Catholic or Methodist or whatever you are, you need to put your faith in Christ alone to save you. And then you won't have to face that judgment. And you then will Yes, you will meet the Lord in the air when he comes back. That's the first thing he's going to do. But then, between day 5 and day 30 of this reclamation period of the earth, when the Lord is reclaiming the earth, there will be a judgment for those that are saved. Not to determine heaven or hell. That's already determined when you accepted Christ. You're going to heaven. But to determine what? What is that going to determine? That judgment is going to determine what, Marion?
The role of the saved will come back to earth with Christ, and their role will be to help him rule the earth.
All right, very good. Marion's getting all these. Rule the earth with Christ. It will determine the sphere of your service based on how faithful you are with what the Lord gave you when he saved you. That will determine your responsibility in the kingdom. See, we're saved to serve. And by the way, that service does not stop when you die. You serve the Lord more, except you won't get tired and you will be refreshed. But God saves us to serve. He doesn't save us just to sit around. If he gives you truth, he gives it to you to help others, to win others and to serve others now. And the more faithful you are, the more opportunity you will have in his kingdom to serve him. And that kingdom goes for 1,000 years and then it merges into the eternal kingdom. And so that judgment is very important that's coming. And as a Christian, it's important for you to be faithful to the Lord right now. All right, we talked about all of that, and now I want you to look at Revelation chapter 12, which we went into last week. Now, I said that the end of Revelation 11 stops on day 5 or day 6 of the 30 days. And it stops, you see, on day 5 or day 6 of the 30 days with the saints being judged in heaven. And now God is going to pour out the bowl judgments on the earth. But the Bible stops going forward in chronology or chronological order right at the end of chapter 11. What chapter in Revelation does the time clock start up again and you begin to take up from where you ended at the end of chapter 11 for the rest of the 30 days and all of that? What chapter does it start back up again? It doesn't start back up in chapter 12, which we are studying. Bobby, which chapter does it start up in?
Chapter 14.
Yeah, it starts up in chapter 14 again. That's important you understand that. You have a parenthesis here. Now, chapter 12 and 13, in this parenthesis, and we're studying it now, God looks at the overall cosmic war that's going on, and he centers in on chapter 12 on one nation, the nation that he's chosen, through that nation to save the world and to govern the world. What nation is that in chapter 12 that we talked about called the woman that God has chosen? Kim Lake.
I'll say Israel.
Yes, you'll say right. Israel. God has chosen the nation of Israel, the children of Jacob, to save the world. And so we talked about that in chapter 12 in the cosmic war. And then in chapter 13, he talks about the enemies of Israel, and he talks about these beast empires. Beast empires mentioned in Daniel 7. He talks about them more in detail in chapter 13 of Revelation. They're like beasts. They try to destroy Israel. Maybe you heard in Westside about a bear that was found. Second time this bear was found across from a school in Sumner Avenue in Westside. I didn't find out, but Thursday night we sent Miss Wolf and a couple girls up there to have a visit right where that bear was found. I didn't realize that it was, bear was found that day. Big black bear. And they got the bear. One of the beasts is a bear that's mentioned in Daniel chapter 7 and in Revelation chapter 13. It's a bear. They got the bear, by the way, and they took him away. And they did this before, though, when he came back. He likes the food over there in Westside, I guess. So just make sure you're not the food. Amen? But these empires are called beasts in Daniel 7. In Daniel chapter 2, they're called part of a golden image. God looks at them, though, as beasts. And they are savage and they are destructive to Israel. I'll tell you a good example of the bear. Do you know who the bear? Now, well, we think of the bear being represented by Russia, but this is an ally of Russia. The bear today, what leader and what country is represented by the bear according to the Bible that hates Israel and is an enemy of Israel? Marion?
Iran.
Ahmadinejad. You ever heard of that maniac? Yeah, he's a madman. He's a modern-day Hitler. And that man should be not talked to. Who was it? One of the presidential candidates said we should sit down and talk to him at the executive level, at the presidential level, without precondition. You don't talk to a guy like that at the executive level. You get maybe some lower people quietly to talk to him and say, well, blow your brains out if you don't stop it. But you don't go in the executive level and give him credence. This guy is a maniac. You should listen to what he's saying. He is satanic. He is satanic. You say, where do you get that? I read the Bible. I study the Bible. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says that people that talk like that man are satanic. They're under the direct influence of the devil. And what does the devil want to do? He wants to destroy every last living, breathing Jew on earth. He hates the Jews. You say, why does he hate the Jews? He's prejudiced. Why does he hate the Jews? Let me ask you that question. Why does the devil hate the Jews? And why does he move people like Hitler to kill Jews? And now he's moving this Ahmadinejad to kill Jews. And many of your Islamic people want to kill Jews. Your fundamental Islamic people want to kill Jews. Why? Bobby?
The Jews are God's chosen people.
Yeah, they're God's chosen people. God's chosen people are the Jewish people, and God says that when he sets his kingdom up on the earth, he's going to bring Israel to the knowledge of himself, and they're going to be the head of the nations, and they're going to be part of his earthly people that's going to reign over the earth. All right. Now if you're saved right now, you're part of his heavenly people that will reign over the earth from the New Jerusalem during the kingdom of God on earth. But the Jews are his earthly people that will be living on the earth during this time called the kingdom of God. And so Satan hates the Jews. He wants to destroy them. We'll look at that in chapter 13. But going up now to chapter 12, last week we ended with a war in heaven. And I want you to go with me to chapter 12 now and look at verse 7. It says that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. So here we have a war in heaven. By the way, angels fight. There are fallen angels. And there are good angels. There are God's angels, and there are the devil's angels. And they fight. Can you imagine the warfare? You think Star Wars is something. That's Star Wars. That's the real Star Wars. Would you like to see that war? I kind of like to see it from a distance and watch these guys clashing. We'll probably have these big swords, you know, these light bearings. I mean, it's got to be something. And I can't describe it, but it's a tremendous warfare. And the Bible says that Satan is going to be thrown out of heaven. Now remember, Satan can go to heaven right now. He goes into heaven right now. And if you're a believer, he accuses you to God. He could go into heaven and he could go back and forth between heaven and earth. But this time, when this war takes place, he is going to be thrown out of heaven. Now, we studied an event that's going to happen on earth at the same time. And by the way, a lot of times when things happen on earth, it's because of satanic influences. 9/11, somebody said that was an evil deed. I agree with it. And it was under the influence of Satan. Satan. And that's why leaders that are fighting these individuals that are perpetrating this, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. The Bible says that government is supposed to defend and protect people. And that's a good thing. Thank God we haven't had on our shore another 9/11 attack. Amen. So thank God for that. And also thank those leaders and soldiers that have put their life on the line to protect America. But listen to me, Satan is behind this. And there is an event coming where the Bible says right here that there's going to be a war in heaven that's going to lead to this event on earth. And let me ask you, this war in heaven between Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels, used to be called Lucifer, leads to Satan being defeated, his angels being kicked out with him, and he comes down to the earth. And the Bible says, oh boy, it's going to be a bad time on earth now. When and what will take place on earth as a result of this war in heaven and this defeat for Satan in heaven? Anybody know when and what takes place. Marion again.
It's the tribulation.
Very good, Marion. It is called the Great Tribulation. You've heard, how many have heard of the Great Tribulation? All right, that's the Great Tribulation. Now, many teachers teach that the Great Tribulation starts at the beginning of the 7 years. That's not true. When does this Great Tribulation on earth start in terms of time, in terms of the 7 years that we're talking about? Angel.
It's okay, 3.5 years.
3.5 years. I got Angela and Angel in school, and it's a mess right now for me. Yes, you're absolutely right. 3.5 years. It starts in the middle of the 7 years, and it will start halfway through the 7 years. Now, the 7 years hasn't begun yet. When the 7 years begins, there will be a peace agreement in the Middle East that will allow Israel the right to access their temple on the Temple Mount that now has the Mosque of Omar. There may be a wall between the mosque and the temple, or the mosque may be destroyed. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know there'll be a legal agreement between the leader of the European Union and Israel, allowing them access to their Temple Mount, and in conjunction with that, maybe peace in the Middle East between Israel and the Palestinians and her neighbors. That will allow this to... It will be a false peace, but that will start the 7 years. By the way, that's still progressing. They're still moving on peace talks. So keep watching that, because that's a significant thing when that happens. That starts the last 7 years. And but 3.5 years into those 7 years, there's this war in heaven. And after Satan and his angels are defeated, they come to this earth and they move the beast, who is the political leader over the European Union, the revived Roman Empire, and they move the Jewish Antichrist. They move them together to start a great persecution on earth called the Great Tribulation. And let's go to this passage now in Revelation 12. And I just want you to look at, first of all, as you look at Revelation chapter 12, it goes with Daniel. So turn with me to Daniel chapter 10. And I just want to look at this individual called Michael, who's going to fight Satan. Daniel chapter 10, real quickly here, and we'll look at verse 13 and verse 21 of Daniel 10. When you get verse 13, raise your hand if you have a King James Bible. I'll have you read it to us. And Cindy, good to see you. Welcome. Cindy came out today. That's really good. All right. And let's go with Angel.
But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but little Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia.
Okay, so here's an angel. I don't know if it's Gabriel or another angel. He's unnamed at this point. And he is fighting to get through to Daniel to answer Daniel's prayer. Angel has to fight. And by the way, we have guardian angels, and there are fights between demons and angels over protecting us. But here comes this individual to get a message to Daniel in answer to his prayer. And the Bible says that he is stymied. He can't get through. He needs help. And who comes to help him? Michael. Michael, the great archangel. Michael is a more powerful angel, and he comes to help him. And he's successful. And he wins a victory there. Now, go to verse 21. And... who has verse 21 that can read of Daniel chapter 10? Raise your hand and I'll have you read it. Marion?
But I will show thee that which you tell me in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holds with me these things, but my will your
tongue. The reason I had that verse read by Marion is Michael is your prince. When he says your prince, who's he talking to or about? Bobby?
He's talking to the prophet for Israel.
That's exactly right. Talking to the prophet, who's an Israelite, and he's saying that Michael is the prince, or the prince that protects Israel. Do you know the Bible says in Ephesians 6 that there are principalities and powers? There are fallen angels that actually are assigned over nations, over areas like cities and counties and so forth. Just like we have human governments and all these different degrees of government, there are angelic beings that are assigned. And there are good angels and bad angels assigned. And there's warfare. And so here you have a good angel, a archangel, who is the prince to protect Israel. And he comes to the aid of Daniel and this angel that's trying to get a message to Daniel. And I wanted you to see that because that's very important. Now, you see that there is a war in heaven. And I want you to look at Daniel again. Daniel and chapter 12 again. And it talks about this war in heaven. Look at Daniel 12, verse 1. And it says there, and at that time, by the way, when is this time? It's right in the middle of the 7 years, the time period we've been talking about. At that time, it says, shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people, Daniel's people, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So what is he saying here? He's saying that Daniel is going to stand up. Now, if you read Revelation chapter 12, you know where he stands up. He stands up in heaven. And he stands up to fight Satan. And when he stands up to fight Satan, Satan is thrown out of heaven. And that's why it says in Daniel 12:1, there's going to be this terrible time of persecution, because Satan is going to be thrown out of heaven and he's going to come to earth, just like it says, to persecute. Who's he going to persecute? The woman. He's going to go after Israel first, because his goal has always been one of two things. That is to annihilate or assimilate Israel.
What do those two words mean, please?
Very good. Annihilate means destroy them, kill them. Kill every last Jew on earth. He wants to kill them, like Hitler did, like Ahmadinejad wants to do, like other beast leaders have tried to do. Terrible people. However, if that doesn't work, he'll try to assimilate them. What does assimilate mean? It means to bring them into his kingdom, under his power. So some of the most wicked people are Jews. They're God's chosen people, but they've chosen not to accept the Lord, and Satan has used them. Karl Marx was a Jew. Founded a horrible system called communism. Howard Stern, my friend. Vile piece of garbage, is a Jew. And so, you see, Satan wants to assimilate Jews. The Antichrist will be a Jew. The Antichrist, Jesus Christ is a Jew, but the Antichrist will be a Jew. And he will give people a mark. I believe it may be a computer chip in their forehead or on their hand that will be like a smart card, and all buying and selling will be done through that mark. If you take that mark, the Bible says you are in Satan's kingdom, you can never be saved. You will never be saved if you take that mark. That is assimilate. He's bringing the Jews now into his kingdom. If he can't, he'll annihilate them. Okay? And so that is his goal. That is what he wants to do. And so at this time, when this war takes place in heaven now, there's this cosmic war between the good angels and the bad angels. The good angels under Michael win. Michael is the prince that protects Israel. He restrains and keeps Satan from destroying Israel. And he's going to kick Satan out of heaven. Now, normally, you might think he would pursue him to the earth and restrain him when he's kicked out of heaven. But we know from other scripture that he doesn't do that. You say, what scripture? Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians now, chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. And when somebody gets that in the King James that wants to read it, raise your hand and I'll have you read 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 to the class. And that's Kim wants to do that. Okay, Kim?
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way.
Okay, very good. Now, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, that's talking about the satanic beast empires that have tried to destroy the Jews or assimilate them. And under the time that this was written, because it was written by the Apostle Paul prior to his death in about AD 60, he was writing about the Roman Empire, which is one of the beast empires that was against Israel. And actually destroyed their temple in 70 AD. Okay? And scattered them. So, the mystery of iniquity doth already work, but there's somebody that's hindering and keeping that iniquity back, or that destruction of Israel back. And from Daniel chapter 12 and Daniel chapter 10, we get a window into that. And in Revelation chapter 12, we've just seen a little bit more about who that is. Who is that person who is letting? The word let means to hinder. It's an old English word, means to hinder. Who is it that lets or hinders this persecution of the Jewish people and this annihilation or assimilation of the Jewish people? Who hinders it, according to what we just read? Kim?
Satan.
Well, Satan furthers it. He's behind it. I'm talking about who protects the Jews. Who holds back?
Jesus.
Well, we know that, but what individual? Yes.
Michael.
We just read about it. Michael, the archangel. He is the one. But now, remember, he has this war in heaven. And according to 2 Thessalonians, when that war in heaven takes place, Satan's going to go to the earth, but Michael's not going to follow him. Michael is going to be held back by God from following him. He's not going to go follow him to earth. We know that later on, the Battle of Armageddon, he will come back with the Lord Jesus to fight the Battle of Armageddon. But he's between this period of time, he's not going to come back. He's going to stay there in heaven. And he's going to let Satan, listen to this, he's going to let Satan go to earth and have at it. He's going to let him have at it. People wonder, why does God let certain things happen? The suffering in this world is not because of God, it's because of our sin. But God is able to take the sin and the wickedness of Satan and all this wickedness that's happened to him, and he's able to work it out for good. He's able to use it for good. And so when this happens, when Satan gets kicked out and his demons go with him to this earth, it's not going to be a visible thing. You won't be able to see demons necessarily. Although, I don't know, they may appear and say they're UFOs. That could happen. They may appear and say they wouldn't say we're demons, you know. Well, we've come from another planet. We're going to help you have peace on earth. They may do that. That's possible. But at any rate, they're going to come down to this earth, whether visible or invisible, and they're going to help world government and world peace. And one of the ways they're going to help world peace is by getting all those that disagree with peace to be killed or arrested and killed. And so they're going to start with the Jews, and that's going to be the hottest flames of the persecution, and that's Satan's plan. And that's why in verse 9, notice that he's called the dragon and he's cast out. He's called that old serpent, the devil. And then in verse 10, it says he heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So people in heaven are praising God. Satan can't come up here anymore. We're glad. But now he's cast down to the earth, and they're saying he has just a little time left. Since he's cast down to the earth in the middle of the 7 years, how much time will he have left from that period of time until he is totally defeated and his beast empire, his final beast empire that fights Israel, is going to be defeated? How much time from the middle to the end of that whole thing? Brother Bob.
According to Daniel chapter 12, 1,290 days.
Oh boy, I love that. Great answer. He nailed it with Scripture. According to Daniel 12, I believe it's 12:12. 1,290 days. That is 3.5 years under the Jewish calendar plus 30 days. God is so accurate. You know, you see all this happening in the world and you may think the world is spinning out of control, but you are sitting in a class and you are learning about God's timetable. You have a telescope right into the future to see. So these things shouldn't take you by surprise. And you should be prepared for them. And the best way to get prepared is make sure that you're saved. Because if you're not saved, when this world system, this one world economic system happens, by the way, there's going to be a Great Depression. Let me say that again. There is going to be a Great Depression. I didn't say recession. I said depression. Between now and the end. Where do you see that? Revelation chapter 6. There's going to be a great depression. I believe these bankers planned these things. I believe the 1930 depression was planned by bankers. In a depression, you don't lose wealth. Wealth is transferred. The little people's wealth goes to the big, rich, fat cats. And the rich, fat cats have all the wealth. And I'm talking about these international bankers and the Rothschilds and all this stuff. And I won't go into all that right now. I could go into it for hours, but I won't. But I'm saying to you, James chapter 5, you want to read about it? It talks about it in James 5. And Revelation 6 talks about the depression part of it, the wealth part of it in James 5, and God's attitude toward those people that are doing this. Zechariah 5 says it's wicked, and it's all going to move over to Iraq, and Iraq is going to be the richest place in the world through United States help and backing. Both Republicans and Democrats, unfortunately, are selling out to this one world economy. Democrats a little more culpable, a little more guilty than the Republicans because they were involved in this last fiasco. Barney Frank, who's a homosexual and the head of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, have some other homosexuals there. Bad things happening. Bad things happening. And this world government is going to have, does have, right now we're part of a one world economy. This bailout was to bail people out that are part of other countries. We're not bailing out our own country, we're bailing out people in other countries through the one world economy. But there's going to be this great judgment, and it's going to come down, and there's going to be a crash. And after this crash takes place, now get this, I just talked to a guy whose daughter is in our school. You hear him on the radio, JPL Financial. Maybe you've heard of him. His name is James Lake of JPL Financial. You ever heard of that? His slogan is, it's not your money. It's not our money. It's your money, I think he says. And he believes that. You know, he has a good attitude toward his banking, his investing. But I was talking to him, and he was brought up in this church, so he knew the background of prophecy. He's heard my teaching. And he says to me, he said, oh yeah, you know, what you teach, he said, when this crash takes place, afterward this man's going to come and he's going to provide money and he'll bail everybody out. He'll bail all of us out. Everybody will get bailed out. You have a problem with your mortgage? I get rid of your problem. You got your house. You got a problem with your hospital bills? I'll take care of it. You'll have it all. All you got to do is just take this computer chip, has all the information on it. I will give you so much money in your account. Maybe he'll use oil money. They won't let us drill for our own oil, so we got to be dependent on Middle Eastern oil. Maybe he'll use that money. But they want to impoverish everybody so that they can make you rich. Why do they want to make you rich? So that you'll vote for him. Only problem is, when you vote for this guy, you're going to be voting for your own self never to get saved, because you can't get saved after that. Because you have to worship him as God. And the Jewish Antichrist is going to put his image in the temple, and you'll have to worship him as God. But if you do, you'll have all the money you want, you'll have all the peace you want, you'll have all the prosperity. And we're already getting set up for that, because we'll vote for anything that will keep us going with money. You know, I bet some of you, don't raise your hand, but I bet some of you in this class, when you heard about that bailout, you wanted to vote, you wanted them to vote for it. You said, man, I don't want to go into a recession. I don't want the markets to correct and this bad debt to be taken care of. And I can understand that. I don't either. But it's only going to delay it, and it's going to make it worse when it happens. It's like a drug addict. When you take your drug, you get that relief. But when you crash, it's going to be worse. This is a drug addiction to wicked system of money, and it is going to end in Iraq, in this great one world economy. And the only way you're going to get money, the only way you're going to get bailed out, is if you worship the man, Satan's man. But he's not going to be called Satan's man. He's going to be called the man. Oh yeah, he's the ultimate. And he's going to make everybody have good money. But the problem is, the Jewish people will not bow down and worship him, the Orthodox Jewish people, and they'll have to run for their lives. The Bible says they're going to run south and they're going to run east into the wilderness of Jordan. And there's a place called Petra where there are caves and there's places to hide. And the Jews are going to go there and hide. Some will just go into the wilderness of Judea and hide there. And that will be the hottest flames of this tribulation. It will start right in the middle of the 7 years. But then it will spread out. Because I want you to go back here with me and let's look down in chapter 12 here. It talks about this great warfare. And then look at verse 13 of chapter 12. It says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman," that's Israel, "which brought forth the man-child." And then verse 14, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness." So she's given protection and she escapes the serpent. He tries to get her in verse 15. But verse 16, the earth helps the woman. So God is, by the way, it's not Mother Nature. When we have hurricanes and earthquakes and all that, it's not Mother Nature. What is it? It's Father God. He's in control of this earth, even this fallen world. And he's using the things of nature to protect the Jews as they try to run away from this beast that tries to kill them. And then verse 17 says, "And the dragon," that's Satan, "was wroth with the woman, Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimonies of Jesus Christ." So after he can't destroy the woman Israel and she escapes into the wilderness of Judea and into southern Jordan, he goes back now to war against the remnant of her seed. And the remnant of her seed are people that keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, who is it that during this time will be the only saved entity, the only saved group that will believe in Jesus and follow the commandments of God? Who will that be? Yes.
That's us.
That's Christians. That's right. That's the remnant of her seed. Her seed is Christ. The Bible says in Galatians that Jesus Christ is the seed of Israel. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we get saved and we keep God's commandments because we love the Lord and we want to follow him. And Satan will hate us. He said, "I can't get Israel. I can't get them. A remnant got away. Doggone. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to get Christians." By the way, listen to this. I'm going late. Here it is. What does Ahmadinejad say under the inspiration of Satan? He says, "I want to get the little Satan and the great Satan." The little Satan is Israel. The great Satan is the United States. Why does he hate the United States so much? I believe because Satan hates the United States because there are a lot of Christians in the United States. Still. What is Satan doing in the United States with Christians? He is trying to make them look stupid so they don't stand up for their faith. And they don't stand up for the commandments of God. And if he can't do that, and you got people like Kent Hovind who stands up and hits against Satan's great lie called evolution, which is one of the greatest lies Satan ever put forth, that's caused the United States and its universities and its public school system to worship a false god, the god of evolution. It's a lie. They're willfully ignorant of the fossil record and the quote-unquote geologic columns which show that a lot of water deposited death in layers of the earth, which is the result of the universal flood. They deny all that and they purport evolution. I just had a guy that came here today and he said he went into the Penn State and the first thing he saw was a big picture of Charles Darwin. He said, "Man, I need to get to church." But that lie of Satan is being purported, and that's all being done, and the United States is part of that, and Satan wants to take over the United States fully and put it into the world government. You know, the best thing that could happen in the United States, we should have a depression first. And the best thing that happened in the United States is that we should, I hate to say this, but nuclear bombs will probably, and I'm not wishing this, I hope to God it doesn't happen, but nuclear bombs will go off in our cities, and maybe that will wake us up. God will use that to wake us up, that we are running right into the Antichrist kingdom. All right, I'm going to stop there. Next week, I want you to read Revelation 13 about the beast's empires, and we'll talk about that.